the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
We can do so much more. We can save this world. With the right leadership.
I'll make a recording of my formulae for the Senator, in case I don't return this time. If only I won't be too late.
Go take a run and jump.
My patience begins.
Prepare to meet your fate.
He's right. This is his first test.
Then one iron club crow sends the first guard through.
Try my new electro stun ray.
Welcome to the What Are You Reading comic book show.
Good evening, folks. We are live for another episode of What Are You Reading comic book show. I'm a little distracted right now, and things could get a little dicey as far as this show goes because personal stuff going on that I really can't get into over the air. But if this show ends abruptly, I will apologize now. If that happens, okay, we're going to try to get through the show, but fair warning, people. And so I'm here.
You couldn't have shared that with me before we went on the air?
No.
All right. I was just asking.
So, did I introduce you yet?
No.
You know the rules, okay? You don't exist.
I'm sorry, God. I will not defy you again, God.
You know, you would have thought that time off you had, you would reflect, and you haven't. But that's fine. Stubborn is what stubborn...
Oh, you can fuck with me, but I can't fuck with you.
Stubborn is what stubborn does.
Oh, hold on. You can fuck with me, but I can't fuck with you. Is that what the...
I see that now. Stubborn is what stubborn does.
Whatever, Forrest Gump.
I wish I was Forrest Gump. I would own a shrimp company.
I love shrimp, but man, I cannot deal with all that.
Actually, I don't eat shrimp at
all. Shrimp's good. I love shrimp.
Shrimp is not good for you. It is a scavenger. But we won't get into the culinary arts today because... This is the comic book arts today. The What Are You Reading comic book show. I'm the Surfer. This is Jordan Cobb. We're going to take your calls. We're going to talk some comic books. We're going to fill you in a little news, a little reviews. Let me make sure everything is recording. See, I knew I forgot something. Forgot to check to make sure everything's recording properly. Because it's been known to happen. Yeah, a little late, but better late than never, right?
Yeah.
Okay. But you can hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I just want to make sure this is recording. You know, we've had problems in the past where...
Okay, well, Stanley just messaged me. Volume on the show seems quite low. I have to use headphones, and I can just about hear it.
Okay, I'm trying to see about that.
Where's sound? Hold on, let me.
Okay, let us know if it's any improvement.
I'm hearing it just fine.
Yeah, I know we're hearing it, but it's a question of...
The chat.
Yeah, the live
audience. Okay, well, whoever is in the chat room, please sound off in the chat room. We can't do this unless, you give us some feedback.
Well, it looks like the levels on the recorder is up now, so hopefully whatever I've done is the correct thing. And He said that's better. Okay. Thanks, Mr. Kubrick. Don't worry, you can hear us.
Yeah, he messaged me. It's better. And I'm pretty sure he's getting... Oh, yeah, he said it's better. I was expecting more random shit Stanley messaged me after that.
So, how are you, Jordan?
I'm fine. I'm doing good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How's the alcohol business?
I wish I had a job in the alcohol business. That means I could get some money.
So nobody's buying the shine, huh? Okay.
I've never done moonshine.
Never tasted it? Never had it on the lips?
Wait. There was a pumpkin shine moonshine, sort of drink I tried on the pub crawl I was a part of in Orlando.
Okay.
It was okay. It was pretty good. But moonshine, no. Not everyone in the South's in a moonshine distillery. You know, we have other businesses here. We have meth houses. Okay? We sell crack. I'm tired of being stereotyped.
I thought meth was more like New Mexico and places like that.
Meth's everywhere, man.
Oh, okay.
Meth. You don't remember the time Stephen Colbert mentioned that on the fucking Colbert Report? It was like, Arkansas, come to your state. Stay because you sold your car for meth.
No, I didn't see that episode, so sorry.
I've seen every Colbert episode.
What do I want to go to next? Oh, well, let's tell these people how they can join us.
Yes, you can. All right, you can read. My bad. Take two. You can join me and Surfer on the air. You know, you can talk whatever the hell you want. You know, or whatever we're talking about at the time you happen to call us, what the hell ever. You can join in numerous ways. You can join us by calling the phone number, which is our preferred method. We'd like you to join us at 215-253-4516. I'm going to say that again. Call 215-253-4516.
Now, I have something to give away. I have a prize to give out. But here's the caveat, okay? I'll give it to a caller, okay? You got to call in. You have to call in. If you're calling on your phone, you have to call in on a phone number that I can write down, and then you agree that I can call you back later and give you the prize, or, of course, use Skype, but no anonymous calls.
And you can join us on Skype by adding... and or just call into contact SilverSurfer_forever, all lowercase, to help out your search.
And if it helps, it is a video game I'm giving away, so that's all I'm prepared to say. And okay. if I don't give away this week, then maybe next week. Give it to you?
Yeah.
I don't think you can use it.
I would like to. Is it available to play on Mac?
I don't know. I have to check that part.
Well, please do. Because I would actually like a new video game to play. I'm still working my way through Skyrim. Yeah, I'm that asshole. Shit got busy. Anyway, there's another way you can join us. The chat room. www.rantenradio.com/chat/listen-live. The Listen Live chat room where me, Stanley, several others, including the head boss himself, Double A, is in. Boss of all of us, especially Surfer. And,
he's not the boss of me.
And you can just join us. It's also at www.rantenradio.com/chat/listen-live. That you can listen to us live on the air or any other shows. Because, hey, we're going to be on a rerun all week. We're going to be looping around. Yeah, that's fine. Although, if you can't listen to it and you're on the go, Hey, I understand. We're all very busy people. We got to get from point A to point B, point C, and then find our way back to B somehow. But whatever. You can listen to us in several numerous ways. There's Stitcher Internet Radio, Podbean, wait, is it good to say Geek Life Radio, or are we still, like...
I don't know.
All right, I'll just... Blog Talk Radio, and of course, the almighty iTunes. You can open up iTunes today and search for Rant Entertainment Media Radio in the podcast section and subscribe. And also while you're there, rate us 5 stars and leave a review for this fine program or any of the other fine programs or just the network itself. All I'm telling you is you'll be helping us out. We'd appreciate it. And we'll hug you for 5 seconds.
Are you ready for Turkey Day next week? Is it next week?
Not
this week coming up, but
no, it's not next week. If hold on.
Well, we're in a new week now.
Yeah. You know what I gotta say about the previous week? Fuck that, man. It does not exist. This last week does not live up to this week, and this year's Thanksgiving is on November 26th. So, opening my calendar, if it'll. Come on, you stupid iPod. Yeah, oh shit, that is next week.
So you ready for it? Next week. You ready for it?
Yeah, I'm ready. I mean, shit, I'm not doing the cooking.
Yeah, what do y'all have? Turkey, ham, tzatziki?
Well, we have turkey and ham. We have some nice little rolls, couple sliders, we can make out of, the roll buns, and we can just cut it open and, butter it up, or we can, fix in some little slices of turkey ham.
It's just baked, smoked?
It's what, the meat?
The meat, yes, the RB meats.
It's smoked.
Well, I'm searching the countryside for the finest Swanson Hungry Man dinner for next week. So,
turkey?
No, I just get the classic chicken, But
I'm ready. All I'm gonna be is like, hey, I'm gonna catch. Hey, Thanksgiving, it's a good time to catch up on some reading. Maybe watch the last couple episodes of Empire that I'm behind on too.
I have not watched an episode of Empire, and I'm not even going to try it because I'm. Why it's not? Just too much to watch.
Yeah, there's a lot of good TV out there.
Too much to watch. I'm behind on quite a few shows that I want to watch. So,
Well, speaking of TV shows, should we go right into TV talk, or you want to go right to Secret Wars number 7?
Well, we'll talk about the wars, I guess.
Yes, Secret Wars.
You know what? My faith is shaken.
Number 7, the once fought penultimate issue, no longer.
My faith is shaken. I had a God I thought I could believe in, I could worship. Wow. He would keep me safe. He would make the sun rise and the moon set. Turns out, he's just another false God.
No, Lord God Doom gave us everything we need.
He is a false god that must be smited. Okay,
you're going to get us fucking. No, you're going to get us smited.
I'm following
this bullshit up.
I'm following the prophet, people. And the prophet
has a false prophet.
No, he's not. He's the prophet who is leading.
He tells you why.
He is the prophet who is leading us to our doom, and I'm following him.
Oh yeah, who is this prophet? What's his name?
Maximus the Mad. So, Secret Wars number 7 came out after, 2 months delay?
Yeah.
Two, three months. And so now all the plans are in motion. Most of Battleworld has decided to attack Doom, and they're being led by
Aerotex.
This mysterious person called the Prophet. And it turns out it's Maximus the Mad. And that is like the worst person you want to find out is leading a revolution because he's bat fucking crazy. And he knows he's leading these people to slaughter, and he's happy to do it. So, of course, Doom sends his generals, who are like, to go out and stop this rebellion. It's not going so well. Different generals are betraying them. Some are loyal to Doom because they're just fucking evil.
No, because Doom gave us everything. Doom gave us a... Who saved us when everything was lost? Doom! You fucking heretic.
Meanwhile, the Richards, Reed and 1 and Reed 2, and the Maker.
Yeah.
Is they, you know, they've set their plans in motion. You know, apparently the Maker, Reed Richards, was behind Maximus. And our hero, Reed Richards, he got his own buddies setting stuff up.
Yeah, can I say that's actually my favorite part of the comic?
We'll get to that, what they got set up in a second. All right, so Doom is, he's going to sit on high and judge those who he deems unworthy instead of actually getting involved. Of course, he calls in his Thors because they're the police. They're there to take care of business. But he doesn't realize that the Thors have turned on him. All because of Jane Foster Thor has told them the truth.
Betrayers.
So now most of the Thors have come to take on Doom too. And, you know, apparently this happens a lot on Battleworld because he's like, we'll just squash it like we always do. But Valerius thinks not this time. Something's different about it. Now, Reed, his buddies, the Black Panther and Namor, they got a plan that I didn't see coming, because they had the Siege Courageous, which allows you to transport yourself from anywhere on Battleworld, but it also changed the type of person you are if you step through it. So, where are the most people on Battleworld? But behind the shield wall, there's zombies. And so he's convincing them to step through this this device and join the fight as non-zombies. Plus, he has all the dead Wakandans at his beck and call because part of Wakanda got saved when Battleworld was created. Now, the book was a quick read, and it did seem half a complete story because
pretty much.
Yeah, I mean it was still good, but
it was okay.
I need more. I need more battle. I need 8 to come out fast, man. I don't want to wait till December for 8. But
we need, and we also need more true believers in the Lord God Doom.
No.
Unlike you, heretic.
Jordan, come face reality. Doom has lied to us. He has kept us on our knees. He has been a false god. He needs to go.
No, okay? Doom is what gave us life. Doom allowed us this second chance. Doom saved us.
Okay, well.
He saved me and you.
No, I was on a life raft.
I will say, though, this issue is just okay. My two favorite things about it were mainly,
I say more than okay was good.
Yeah. Well, mainly I liked the interactions between Prime and Ultimate Reed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I'm liking that. I think Hickman is handling that very well with his writing. So having Reed look at himself would be like, oh, fuck. And how, man, the Maker's kind of like a spoiled fucking brat.
You know, and this is the first time they've really interacted with each other, correct?
I believe so, yeah. Aside from, you know, like Marvel Zombies, when Ultimate Reed was the one who came to tell Reed, was like, yo, shit's fuck, I'm a walker.
No. Ultimate Reed thought he was talking to regular Reed Richards, and it turned out he was talking to zombie Reed Richards.
Right. Okay. Cards on the table. It's been a long time since I've read Marvel Zombies.
Because when he went to go meet him, that's when he discovered he was going into the zombie universe. So.
And the other thing I liked was Black Panther. Was T'Challa, motivational speaker. His old battle cry, you know, and all that. I really liked that moment. That was a good moment.
And Doom feels betrayed.
Because of all these non-believing heretics around him. These fools who are being... Maximus is a false prophet, by the way. He is a false prophet. He does not share the word of Lord God Doom.
I gotta point out a couple of inconsistencies, though.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. So I read Future Imperfect, right?
I wasn't too interested in that one.
No, okay. At the end of that book, the Maestro was left in a state of he was left in a dream state. Because in the book, he decided he was going to try to take on Doom and take the throne. And so he got led to this cavern where the armor for the Destroyer was. And Rick Jones, still alive, still old ass in a wheelchair, supposedly called Doom. The Maestro took the armor and fought Doom and supposedly beat him. But that was all in his head, because the cave that the armor is in, it gives you your fondest wish. And so the Maestro is stuck in this cave thinking he's won. He's in ruler battle world. So how he's showing up in Secret Wars number 7 ready to fight is beyond me. Okay. Second inconsistency. The Thors, of course, going to join the fight. Now, they showed this in the Thor's book. And what was happening in the Thor's book was they was investigating the murders of Jane Foster's and Donald Blake's throughout Battleworld. And it turned out it was two Thors who was doing it. And just when they was fighting to stop this guy, Jane Foster Thor shows up and was like, look, we got to go fight. And he just dropped that and just went off and joined the battle against Doom. So that book kind of ended without a real finish, other than them flying off to fight and Ultimate Thor not knowing what's going to happen to him. And then, of course, what happens in all the books where they eventually get into a fight with Doom, everything goes black, and then at the end, something changes. So, Ultimate Thor's hammer somehow ends up in the regular universe onto old Asgard, where Asgard used to be before they left to come to Earth. So, the story was great, but the ending was kind of weak. And you didn't read Thor's either, right?
Oh, no, I love Thor's. I just haven't been able to read the final issue yet.
Right. And that's the thing. Like Jane Foster shows up in, like, the last 5 pages of that book. Like, she had really nothing to do with it, so.
Well, yeah. I mean,
she was like...
How else would she have been
I'm saying, they rescued... She was one of the rescued heroes, but didn't really do much in this series. She's just there. No impact whatsoever. And unless something happens in the next 2 issues, she was just an extra person. Just an extra female.
Yeah, well, we got the Mighty Thor, her new solo book coming up.
Right. And
which I'm looking forward to.
I looked at the preview pages.
I have not yet. I'm steering clear of preview pages for a lot of the new Marvel books. Mainly because it's like, I kind of, you know what, this time, kind of just want to dive in head first.
Well, I always look at the preview pages that CBR puts up on Friday nights. I mean, Thursday night leading to Friday morning. And
I mean, that's fine.
I mean, they don't give you nothing to spoil the book. So, It's basically whenever.
Yeah, no, it's still
whenever she.
Because look, the opening pages can still be like.
What do they show? Anytime she wants the hammer, she just calls for it. It'll fall out of the sky. And she'll pick it up and she'll become Thor.
That's cool. And then, I love that. Even though I wasn't the biggest fan of the reveal as to her being Thor, I'm still interested in where it's going.
And then, of course, when she's done, she throws the hammer away until next time. And, of course,
like, all right, peace.
She's sickly and dying. And
yeah.
Nobody called in yet. I guess we're not gonna be giving away no prizes to anybody. So,
how did you get this game, by the way?
Trade secret.
Okay. Well, let's talk about some.
I can't say over the air.
All right. Let's talk about some TV then. TV happened.
What got you excited this week?
Flash.
We're going to zoom. All we're going to do is zoom. Zoom showed up, people.
Yes, and he is not fucking around.
No, he's not fucking around at all.
Man, I'll say this. The Flash was really good, but those last 5 minutes or so with Zoom bumped it up to fucking great.
Yeah, that shit, you know, Flash, listen, Flash is a light show, you know, a little tad bit campy, you know, it doesn't get deep, no major deaths, you know, it's not like you weeping, people crying all the time, it's comedy, in a way, and you know, the Flash goes through the same tropes, like, he's overconfident at times, and he has to get knocked down a peg before he realizes what to do to stop the villain of the week. But, you know, him dealing with Zoom, he wasn't ready for that dude. This is a speedster from another Earth who's apparently faster than the Flash.
Oh, my God. It's no contest.
He's on a mission to wipe out all the speedsters throughout the multiverse. And the Flash is just the next one in line to get in his way for him to get rid of. And they're trying to stop him because Zoom's been sending people in to kill the Flash. And eventually, friends are going to get hurt. And just when the Flash thought he could take on Zoom, he found out he wasn't ready for this man.
No. Zoom came in as a reckoning force of nature.
So,
just fuck shit.
What do you think was worse, him getting beat by Zoom or Zoom just snatching him around town like he was a rag doll?
I'd say they're both kind of equally, like, I'd say they're both kind of on the same level. Because he didn't amp one up over the other. Zoom was just constant in doing so. He just went all out. He just wouldn't stop and never let up. It was incredible.
And not to mention, you know, if you're strong enough to pick somebody up by one hand and hold them up in the sky like they're nothing, yeah, that's somebody I want to stay away from. And he picked up Barry Allen like he was like a My Little Buddy
rag doll.
Like, not like it's one thing, like, to drag him through the streets like he was doing, but everywhere they stopped, he just held him up in the air like, yeah, this, you think this is your hero? You think he's going to help you against me? You people are clowning yourselves. And, of course, now Barry can't feel his legs. How long that's going to last? I hope it's only lasts an episode. I think it was a Canadian preview where he's on the treadmill trying to run and he falls off the treadmill, so it doesn't look like he's going to be laid up handicapped for long. But so what do you think now that they realize that he's not ready for Zoom? Is that going to make Barry scared of him, or
why wouldn't you be?
Well, you know, you can't be scared of of the people you fight if you're going to be a hero now. You can't be a bitch.
Oh, yeah. Look, Barry's eyes are going to be shaken up by this. He's going to need to prepare even more. He's going to need to fucking get ready. He can't approach this easily. And also now he's got the return of Gorilla Grodd to worry about.
Yeah, Grodd.
Gorilla Grodd.
So, I'm wondering how they're going to deal with Grodd in this episode, because somebody else going to come in and help save the day, or...
I don't know.
Or he'll get his speed back at the last second and come in.
Of course he is.
And then...
of course he will.
You know what could...
Because this year's crossover is happening after...
Yes, I know. But you know what could happen? They make me cry think that Harrison Wells from Earth 2 is his pappy.
And that would be cool.
That might make Grodd stop.
Well, yeah. That's a good theory.
Watch, Harrison Wells will probably put on the Reverse Flash suit next week.
No, he will. I bet he will.
What are you typing? Right here, banging. That's better. It's better.
That's just to fuck with him. I was just sending off an email. But yeah, no. This week's Flash was really good. I fucking loved it.
I want to talk about Gotham and why they need to send Bruce Wayne away.
No, they need to send Barbara away.
Well, I think she's done for the season.
You know, I seriously fucking wished when she fell from that church window that it was like, she's fucking dead. The Wicked Witch is dead. It's like, oh, she has severe broken bones and a concussion. I'm like, fuck you.
Yeah, I don't think they was going to kill her off that way.
Here's the problem. It's an episode heavily centered on Barbara. Fuck.
So, here's the deal. Are we done with the Theo Gavin storyline?
No, we're not. No.
It's like, is he going to jail? Is he going to get out of it?
Not done with them. They're the villains of this. They're essentially like the villains of the season. They're the whole catalyst. You think they're going to be done with them this soon?
Well,
look, here's my thing. I'm still saying, because of how they seem to be setting it up, the Gavins, and their real family name, whatever the hell that is, I forgot, because I really don't care that much about Gotham. They're the Court of Owls. They're the Court of Owls who are looking to get revenge on the Wayne family.
Which, to me, is ridiculous at this point, because there's only one Wayne family member left. Why are you trying to get revenge on a little boy who knows nothing about this stuff?
Because they hate the Waynes that much. They hate the whole family that much because of what they did to them all those centuries ago. I love how I hate this show, yet I pay attention to it.
Yeah, no, I pay attention to it, okay? It's like, they're not hurting. I mean...
Oh, Dumas. It's Dumas. Anyway.
You know, the Cobblepots have more to complain about than this clown and his sister. I mean, it would have been one thing if it had been something more recent. But we're talking about more than 150 years ago this happened, right?
Again, it's... People can hold grudges for a really long fucking time over the stupidest shit. But to be fair, the Dumas, the Sacred Order of Saint Dumas, which by the way is also how Azrael's gonna come into here, because as you know from Batman comics history, Azrael was a member of the Order of Saint of the Sacred Order of Saint Dumas, much like Theo and Tabitha Gallivan here. They are part of the Doom. They are from the Dumas family. And they were put into, they were ostracized and put into financial ruin by the Wayne family for a very, very long time. So if someone's family line did that to my family line, hey, yeah, I'd be a bit fucking pissed. Maybe not enough to orchestrate this whole elaborate revenge plan that they seem to have that, you know, that's very comic book-like. But, yeah, I'd be pissed. I was like, you a part of them? Fuck you. I will not like you.
Now, do you think he has something to do with the Waynes being killed off, or?
I think this episode seemed to heavily imply that, since he apparently had intel and such as to who murdered Bruce's parents, since he was willing to give it up if Bruce was able to sign over Wayne Enterprise, his stock, his remaining stocks and shares of Wayne Enterprises over to Gallivan.
Yeah, that would have been fucked up.
But since he got arrested, it was like, he threw it in the fireplace. Like, oh, fuck you, kid.
Yeah, that was ridiculous. Him screaming at a fireplace, tell me! Fireplace going to turn around. Oh, it was someone's...
That was dumb, but not as dumb as everything involving Barbara, which was 90% of this episode.
You know, she's crazy, which...
There's nothing for her character here. There's nothing. There's been nothing for her ever since she just disappeared out of nowhere in season one and then suddenly came back in season one.
She went crazy because she left Bruce and then Bruce moved on to someone else.
Gordon.
Huh? I mean Gordon, yeah.
Yeah.
Not because of what the guy did with the parents.
Well, no, it was a mixture of both. Because of what the ogre, how he fucking psychologically fucked with her. It's a little column A, little column B.
Okay, I don't know.
Point is, fuck this episode. Gotham still sucks. Do not care about Riddler and Penguin somehow coming across, because that's like taking your best thing about the show and one of your worst things and making some odd...
Well, I guess they had to get to a point to explain why the Riddler would become a villain, because right now...
This is the dumbest way. It really is the dumbest way. I'm sorry. That's just how I feel.
Like right now, he's not a criminal, other than he murdered.
Well, no, he's starting out.
No, I'm saying he accidentally killed two people, basically. That's a crime, but he's not a criminal. He doesn't go out and commit crimes.
Accidentally killed two people.
No, I'm saying the Riddler.
No. I was gonna add he also willingly killed one other person in this episode.
Yeah, right now, yeah, that too. But I'm just saying, like, he's not committing crimes like robbing banks or whatever. What the fuck does the Riddler do half the time anyway, besides leaving riddles to get found out about him?
Like, aside from feeding his own narcissistic.
Yeah, what is his main motivation? Is he trying to get rich? Is he trying to rule Gotham?
No, here's the thing. The Riddler is a narcissist. The Riddler is a narcissist in the sense of his intelligence. He feels like, for all his life, he was just underestimated. He was a bit of a bullied kid as well. And look, and there are some psychological scars that prove, like, I'm going to prove you all wrong. I'm going to prove how smart I am, and this is the way I'm going to do it. Grant, again, that's how the Riddler is. The Riddler is out to prove a point, and that point is, I'm smarter than you. I am above you. You are stupid bullshit to me. That is what the Riddler's motivation is. The Riddler is a narcissist. He is a fully complete textbook narcissist in that way. Now, sure, he does do some criminal shit because, hey, guess what? Motherfucker needs money like any of us. All right? because maybe he really likes getting the 250 ham and cheese sandwich down at the Gotham Diner. He's gonna need money for that. He needs a bit of a steady income. So that's what he does. That's as simple as that. The Riddler gets pleasure in knowing he is smarter than you, than me, than everyone. That's his thing. And I'll say this, for as much as I've not been liking Gotham's version of the Riddler, I will say in the previous episode, Mommy's Little Monster, where Riddler was following the clues his split personality left behind for him, it was actually getting to the psychology of the Riddler pretty well, where again, sure, it was more about how he enjoys getting away with murder, mm-hmm. but also how he likes to prove he's smarter than everyone. So for that brief shiny moment, this version of the Riddler didn't suck. But then they went back to that. But then hard turn. I was like, oh great, now I suddenly don't care again, because that's how Gotham is. For every time they actually seem to do something pretty good and seem to be turning a corner, they turn the corner and then hit a brick wall and go right the fuck back to where they were. This Morton proved it with the heavy focus on Barbara and her bullshit. And I just was hoping, and I was, although I will say that brief moment of happiness where I thought she had died, best feeling I ever had watching Gotham. That wasn't anything related to the Penguin and or Gordon and or Bullock and or Alfred.
Well, I'm just upset that my girl got shot.
She'll get over it. She'll be fine.
You know, she could be such a bad girl. You know, I usually the role she's in, I don't like her character. But now she's such a bad girl, and I like that about her.
So you want her to come right up to your door with her whip?
Yeah, she could whip me any day. She wearing those outfits she's wearing? Yeah, sure.
All right. You want her to wear that half mask she was wearing in this episode?
Yeah, she can.
So you're pretty much just down for whatever.
Yeah, I think she's going to die, though. She's going to die by the end of the season.
Well, that's not going to be too upsetting because I'm not finding her character particularly interesting.
And they'll move on to somebody else for next season. Gotham. See, the thing about Gotham, they just need to get a better focus on what they want to focus on.
You know? They need a consistent tone. They need a consistent tone and direction so they can know what. Because again, that's my main problem with Gotham. It doesn't know what the hell it wants to do or what the hell it wants to be exactly. That's why I don't like. What? That's why I do not like watching this show on a weekly basis.
It's a popular show, though.
Yeah, and McDonald's is a popular restaurant. What does that tell you?
Yeah, but it's popular because people like McDonald's.
Not everyone.
Who doesn't like McDonald's? Except for Burger King employees.
I'm gonna say vegans, vegetarians, people who actually like good food. And let's be honest. Let's get real. McDonald's is only really good for breakfast and the chicken nuggets.
That's the chicken. The pigeon nuggets? Come on now.
Chicken nuggets are great. Shut up.
It would be great if they were using real chicken.
I'm not a fan of McDonald's burgers. I'm just going to say that right now. I'm not a fan of McDonald's burgers.
Okay, well, you know, that's not real beef either, so.
Yeah, I mean, look. Again, McDonald's for me. Only good for breakfast, which they have the best fast food breakfast. I want to say that because it's delicious. And chicken nuggets, shamrock shake. That's good. Even though, yes, I know you can pretty much make your own, but hey, I like McDonald's shamrock shake. I don't know what to tell you. And
what is a shamrock shake made of anyway?
It's a mint flavored milkshake.
Okay, never mind.
And, yeah, that's about it. Although, fillet of fish? Yeah, fuck that. Fuck the fillet of fish. Fillet of fish is terrible. It's an awful fish sandwich.
No, it's not. It's all fish meat.
That cannot technically be fish.
Yes, it is.
Whatever. Also, Big Mac? Whatever.
Let's see.
Hello, Iron. All right, great time. This is what I'm done with my McDonald's.
I'm trying to see what's in the top 10 as far as TV.
I thought we were going to go
No comic book shows.
Supergirl.
No, not in the top 10 for week ending November 2nd.
I thought we were just going to talk about the shows.
You're Supergirl, okay.
Yeah, that's what
she's still getting her ass kicked.
Supergirl, God damn, that dog is loud. I really like Supergirl's first episode. I think it actually made up for the very shaky second episode. Again, I like the second half of episode 2 better than the first, but it's still, like, overall not that good a continuation from the pilot. This one, so really, really good. I like the characterization, and I like Peter Facinelli as Maxwell Lord. I'm really liking that.
What
Reactatron?
You like the pop from Twilight, huh?
I prefer Handsome Doctor from Nurse Jackie, but okay.
He was in Nurse Jackie too?
Oh yeah, he was a series regular on every episode. He was in damn near every episode.
He was on he was in that show Fastlane for a season.
Yeah, that existed.
I know, but what's up with
the... By the way, you just made someone very happy because someone listening to this will be like, he remembers Fastlane too.
Yeah, how could you forget Fastlane? That was in Cindy...
Easily, because it sucked.
Listen, for a show that lasted one season, it was on syndication on so many channels at one time. It's not even funny.
Yeah, because the late 90s, early 2000s cable, we're still needing stuff to fill out, you know, cable networks and such. We're still needing stuff to fill out.
But I knew about 12 channels that was running reruns of that one season at the same time.
I'm sure that made plenty of G4 viewers very happy to watch. But hey, how can you hate Peter?
What's up with the general? Oh, whatever he's.
General Hinsaw.
Yeah. Why is his eyes red?
I don't know. They ain't saying shit yet. They ain't saying.
Is he in the books? Is he a character in the books?
Show character. Let me double check. No. Hank Hinsaw. He is a Superman villain. He is a Superman villain. He was reintroduced as Cyborg Superman during the reign of Superman, following Superman's death.
So you think he's a cyborg now?
Oh, yeah, definitely. The way his eyes are glowing and shit? Yeah, he's a cyborg. Yeah, I think they're keeping to that character and having Hinsaw, well, in this case, secretly be a cyborg. And here's another thing I really liked about this episode Superman's here, but again, it's not about Superman, it's about
basically it was like is this going to be a show where Supergirl going to be viewed as Superman's little cousin, and that she's not capable of being her own hero?
That's
the question they were trying to answer in this episode.
And yeah, that was the question asked in this episode. I think they answered it very well in how Kara handled herself with defeating Reactatron. And that, look, this is about Supergirl. And I still say, for a full appearance of Superman, keep him the fuck away from here for as long as possible. Keep him away. Don't need him.
Well, he did show up.
Briefly, and you could barely see him. I'm saying, like, a full-on guest appearance.
No, I don't think they're going to do that because...
They shouldn't.
It's not that they shouldn't. They won't because of the movies.
Well, yeah. God. Warner Brothers really sucks about that. They are stupid about that. I was going to say that. Oh, don't get confused. Yeah, you know, not everyone's a fucking moron. Shut the hell up. But speaking of Supergirl, there is some news as to tomorrow's episode. How does she do it? Is an episode in which Kara deals with bombings throughout National City. Yeah, due to the recent and sadly tragic events that happened in Paris this past weekend that left more than 130 people dead, they are scrapping this episode along with an episode of NCIS Los Angeles tomorrow night. And they're bumping up an episode early tomorrow. And tomorrow we will instead be getting the Livewire episode of Supergirl, which is its Thanksgiving themed episode.
Here's a question for you. Do you think every time something happens, the network should be afraid to show things and that?
Well, it depends on what it is. Depends on the severity of the event that's happened. In this case, hey, yeah, because Supergirl's also, also shown over in France. And this shit's still pretty damn recent. And it might, have some effects on people. So I'm like, okay, if they need to do that. Yeah, because remember, Buffy the Vampire Slayer had an episode that was about to come out, dealing with a school shooting, school violence and stuff, school shooting violence and whatnot, and then Columbine happened, and that fucked that all up.
Do you think people need to stop overreacting because they see something? Because, listen, it's tragic when things happen, right, in real life. But, I mean, they put these things on movies and TV shows all the time, and then, what, they think, it'll never happen in real life, and if it does, you got to act like you can't show it all of a sudden. I mean, I'm confused in a way.
Well, here's the thing, because fiction can often, sometimes, reflect real life. That's the thing. For as much as Supergirl is, a superhero show and whatnot, it does deal with like every other day, human stuff as well. And whatnot.
Okay.
But look.
Hold up. Listen, real quick. When they made this episode with her going around trying to stop bombings, did they not realize that this could really happen one day in real life?
No one thinks that. Can you prepare for that shit?
I'm not saying about preparing for it, but I'm saying, like, you're supposed to be trying to tell stories that seem to be true to life, so.
Okay, yeah, but, well, I'm pretty sure they couldn't see this coming down the line. It's just look, it's really shitty timing is what it is. This is not a hissy fit, Stanley Kubrick. Shut the fuck up. It's just really shitty timing is what it is. And you know what? I'm not gonna be up here and saying if CBS is right or wrong. It's like, hey, it's their decision. I mean, I can understand why they would pull it in light of what has happened recently. So it's whatever. So instead, we're getting our Thanksgiving episode of Supergirl a little early, which is described as Kara's Thanksgiving may be ruined when she suspects her foster mother, Dr. Danvers, who is coming into town, disapproves of her new role as a superhero. Also, when an accident transforms a volatile Catco employee into the villainous Livewire, she targets Cat and Supergirl. And this episode will feature Helen Slater and Dean Cain as the Danvers, and the first appearance of Britt Morgan as Livewire. So, for any Livewire fans that just couldn't wait, hey, what? Oh, you're in luck. And NCIS Los Angeles, I feel sorry for your parents, since they're really the ones most likely watching that. Anyway.
CBS Tonight. Sorry, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I thought this was an okay episode.
I heard a podcast where there's a thought that the woman, what's her name?
What, May?
No. The other organization that's hunting.
Oh, I almost said Constance, but no, that's just the actress named Constance Zimmer. Hold on, keep talking. I'll look up the character name.
Okay.
You
know who she could be?
Who?
Madame Hydra. I don't think so. I don't think she's a.
I'm not. Rosalind Price.
Yeah, right. I don't think she's a villain. I think she really thinks that she's doing the right thing. She doesn't realize she's working for a bad guy and a bad person. And Powers Booth, who's starting to make moves behind the scenes, meeting with Ward, and you know, he's still in the government. How he didn't get caught during the whole purge of S.H.I.E.L.D. is beyond me, but he's still in the books.
Well, if anything, Hydra taught him how to hide.
No, but I'm saying, like, every Hydra person inside of S.H.I.E.L.D. was revealed, probably except for him and Ward. And what you call him, who of course is dead now.
Who?
Ward's mentor.
Oh, Garrett.
Yeah, Garrett, yeah.
John Garrett. Well, I liked this episode mainly because they finally got to really do something more with Blair Underwood's Andrew Gardner. And the whole revelation that he is Lash.
Well, they revealed that last week, but...
Well, I meant,
everybody knows now.
Yeah, I know. Well, I meant more into discovering it.
Now, I don't know much about Lash in the books. Is he a villain or is he?
Here's the thing. He's fairly recent, and I'm a little behind on my Inhuman stuff. I'm
right.
Trying to catch.
Okay, he just popped
up. He's a good guy.
Okay,
he's with the Inhumans. And apparently played a key role in at the conclusion of the Infinity storyline, which I haven't read.
No, he wasn't in the Infinity
storyline. Well, from what I'm reading on Wikipedia.
He didn't pop up until the end of Infinity when the Intelligent Mist got released over the
That's
planet.
Why I said the conclusion.
But he wasn't in Infinity.
Alright.
It had nothing to do with Infinity.
Alright. Well... Anyway, like I said, I haven't read much of Lash because, again, I'm catching up with the Inhuman stuff. Like, I'm trying to go and read Inhumanity and then just go right into Charles Soule's Inhuman. That's what I'm trying to do. So I can read up on all that. I haven't even read the Uncanny Inhumans book yet, which I really want to. It was like, I love the Inhumans. I think the Inhumans are great. I just want to catch up and whatnot.
Did you read...
And be able to know, hey, this is what's going on? That's cool.
Did you read Avengers?
All different Avengers?
Yes.
Yeah, I read that.
What'd you think?
I really liked it. I think the backup story was actually a lot more entertaining than the main story, but I thought both stories were consistently entertaining.
Is it a backup or is it a simultaneous story going on?
I think it's a bit of both. Backup story, but also a simultaneous story, because again, the opening page of this has nothing to do with the main story. It's just, you know, Kamala Khan, Miss Marvel, and Sam Alexander, you know, Nova, sitting in the wreckage of something, and Kamala Khan with her big fist pointing at Nova, saying, you're a jerk. And so I think that second story that focused primarily on them interacting and, you know, discovering each other is sort of, it is story building. While there's a whole different thing going on in New York with Sam and Tony talking with each other, as well as this mysterious new owner of the Avengers, you know, Stark Tower, who is all chummy with a Chitaurian warlord that happens to be in the building. And then Miles Morales shows up.
Yeah, the rip-off Spider-Man, he's called.
Yeah.
Well, it's just a start. What else did you read this week?
Let's see. I read Superman American Alien number 1. I think that's actually my favorite comic of the week.
Okay.
Oh, I loved it. It was a great... Again, Superman American Alien number 1 is the 7-issue miniseries.
You bring it up.
Hello?
Yeah, okay, go ahead. I'm just asking what you read.
Again, American Alien is a 7-issue miniseries about Clark Kent. That's being written by screenwriter Max Landis, who has been well known for publicizing I Love Superman. This is maybe the best fucking character ever. And so he's now getting a chance to do, because he already wrote like a 2-part Superman Joker story in the Adventures of Superman digital comic about a year or two ago, which was great. And yeah, so I loved that. All New Wolverine was great. Descender number 7, excellent, just excellent. I read The Goddamned by Jason Aaron from Image, and I don't want to say too much since this book actually relies on the heavy reveals, but. Man, this is a great biblical epic. Not even this godless heathen can enjoy.
Did you read Ultimates?
I have not gotten a chance to read Ultimates yet. You know the new Al Ewing book.
Yes.
Haven't gotten a chance to read it yet. The art looks great.
It kind of seems like it's picking up from Mighty Avengers as far as the characters.
Well, that's good. I liked the Mighty Avengers.
You know, with Blue Marvel and Spectrum.
Man, Blue Marvel's fucking great.
He's 80 years old.
And still kicking ass.
Apparently.
I think, I read this book twice to make sure I had the I felt how I felt about it. I did not like Extraordinary X-Men number 1.
I didn't get it. I haven't picked up Wolverine yet either.
All New Wolverine. All New Wolverine.
Yes.
Okay.
I know the secret reveal, but.
Okay, well, Extraordinary X-Men, which, by the way, I think is the only adjective they hadn't used yet for an X-Men book, is not good. And here's the thing. It features one of my absolute favorite writers, which is Jeff Lemire, who wrote Descender. And it brings back my personal favorite X-Men artist, Humberto Ramos,
mm-hmm.
who I think has done amazing work with the X-Men before.
All right, so what's the problem?
It's not the plotting is just kind of awful. It's really kind of also not doing anything really new. And I think it's just also showing me I prefer individual X-Men books now over group books. Because here's the thing, faults and all, I still really liked All New X-Men, and Amazing X-Men was actually amazing. I thought it was really goddamn good. But here's the thing. It's doing this whole thing about how the Terrigen Mist are sterilizing, and kind of doing something to the mutants.
Yeah, it's killing them and sterilizing them.
Killing and sterilizing them. Yeah, I thought that could be interesting, but I just think I just thought the plotting and pacing all over the issue was just not interesting. It was kind of terribly put together, which again is something I almost never say a lot about Lemire's work. Well, that's just the case right now.
So, but the thing is, why is the Mist doing this to the mutants? Because
they didn't explain.
No. Listen, let me finish.
All right.
We know that the Mist has been used on mutants in the past because Quicksilver used it on himself, right?
Of course.
Gave him the ability to travel through time. He tried to use it to bring back the mutants, and that's when he discovered that it may give them powers, but it'll affect them in strange ways. Like, he used it on Callisto, and then she kind of got her powers back, but it went too far, and she was in a lot of pain from it. But yeah. Now, why all of a sudden is this going to start killing mutants and sterilizing?
I don't know.
I don't understand why we have to go through this whole thing of the mutants half dying like before. We just got done that storyline, and now they brought it back.
Yeah, and here's the other thing. Again, it's kind of really just not doing anything that terribly interesting with the X-Men again. As a group book, and let's get it straight. Extraordinary is now to be the headlining X book. It is to be the flagship X-Men title in all new, all different Marvel. I'm not quite sure it needs to be.
They mention Cyclops.
Yeah, they do mention Cyclops.
What do they say?
Is it like they mention? It's like in all we've lost. It's like, well, we lost Scott.
So he's gone, right? He didn't.
Looking like it. Here are two things I did like about this book.
Well,
Humberto Ramos's art is still great. I still think he draws X-Men better than almost anybody. That's my personal preference. If anyone disagrees, what the fuck ever. I happen to think he's exceptional. And I'm hearing myself echo.
Is that from my end?
I've
been hearing some kind of feedback on my end. I don't know.
I'm hearing just a slight hum, but it's nothing terrible. You're good right now.
I'm good. I'm always good.
You're good. That's debatable.
Oh, we're running late.
I'll wrap it up.
No. Let's just say in general, we're not going to do all this news that you got listed here.
That's fair. Okay, but we do have one big one we got to get to. But I will say Jean Grey, young Jean Grey from All New X-Men is still around, and that's good because, let's face it, the younger version of Jean Grey from All New X-Men is the most interesting thing about Jean Grey when she isn't the Phoenix.
Everybody hates this young Jean Grey.
Man, guys, no. I love her.
I'm talking about the other mutants.
Oh, yeah, well, okay, well, yeah. Again, I just think this established how good All New Wolverine was. And what I loved about Storm, Nightcrawler, and especially Magneto's solo book, I think individual X-Men books are right now more interesting than group X-Men books. And I'm still looking forward to Uncanny X-Men, which is being done by Cullen Bunn.
Really should be called the Brotherhood of Mutants.
Well, I'm just excited mainly because Cullen Bunn gets to keep writing Magneto. And that's awesome. Because, again, he was the writer of the Magneto book. And I adored that book. So, and you know what? Yes, maybe it should just be called straight up Brotherhood of Mutants. But I want to see where this goes. This looks very interesting. I can't wait to read Uncanny X-Men.
A new X-Force this time around, right?
There is no X-Force book.
How long that's going to last?
Who knows?
Oh, you know, we never got The Walking Dead, which,
okay episode. It was just fine.
See, I wish Rick would call in, because he talks about Walking Dead. And
I wish they, speaking of wishing and Walking Dead, I wish they'd get off their ass and just fucking tell us about Glenn.
Why? They're gonna drag it out to the end of the mid-season.
And we did that with Sophia in season 2. How'd that turn out? It was bullshit. That was stupid. Learn from your mistakes. So what's the weekly bet right now? I'm still saying
okay, but the circumstance of them not knowing if Glenn's alive, I mean, Glenn either have to find the body, which they can't do right now because they can't leave. So how they gonna let, you know, unless Glenn shows up as a zombie or walks in as a live person.
Answer the damn question already. Don't drag this shit out.
I mean, the only way we can find out at this point if one of the people that's still out there on the road comes across Glenn.
Again, they do not Sophia this. Do not Sophia this. Get it over with. Answer the goddamn question. So let's take our. So I want to install a weekly poll now as to what we think it is this week. I still say Glenn better be dead. Here's the thing. Not because I hate the character. I love the character. But I want this show to have some, you know, to keep having it the balls it's regrown. Mm-hmm. And if they backtrack the fuck out of the situation they put Glenn in, goddamn. Damn, does this show lose a lot of respect for me. You, go through it. Do it. Go and kill Glenn. Even though I love the character, I'm sorry you put him in that situation. Glenn's gotta die. Even though I wish they could just kill Daryl, but they'd lose almost all of Tumblr and every woman and all the women that drip their panties whenever he's on, so.
Oh,
and men that get hard-ons. I'm not leaving anybody out.
Well, we got Negan showing up, so.
Yes, Negan has officially been casted. The meanest motherfucker around. How mean is he? Negan makes the governor look like a bitch. A little fucking bitch.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Yeah, Jeffrey Dean Morgan is coming on to play one of the absolute best characters in the Walking Dead comics. Negan's a fascinating character. Again, makes the governor look like a priest, look like a bitch. Negan is the cool high school kid. The governor's like a preschool child.
What's his deal? Why is he the way he is? Why is he just evil? Just trying to take advantage of the situation?
I don't want to say too much because I would love, honestly, for there to be some surprise, especially for those that listen to us that might only just watch the show and have no idea about Negan. Negan did debut in the landmark 100th issue of The Walking Dead.
Oh, he didn't show up to issue 100?
Yeah, that was his debut.
I thought he had been around and, okay.
And again, his entrance made an impact because, I'm going to spoil it, because
everybody knows.
Glenn.
Don Vito passed away.
From Viva La Bam. It's a jackass sort of spell.
Well, I guess nobody wants to win a prize, Jordan, so.
I guess I'll take it if nobody wants it.
I could keep it for myself if that's the case. I just wanted to try to drum up some support for us.
Yeah. But Negan is set to make his first appearance in the mid-season finale, which, you know what? If you're gonna backtrack, keep Glenn alive, only to stay true to how he died and have it be Negan that just shows up and beats the fuck out of him with that, with his barbed wire baseball bat named Lucille. I'm all for that. Also lets people know Negan's not fucking around.
And what does he try to do?
He's a bad dude.
Take over the town, or
Negan is a psychopath. He's a sociopath, more so than the governor, and does seek power. He is a bit power hungry.
Is he still in the book now?
Yes, he is still very much around right now. He is that antagonistic force.
And they haven't been, and Rick hasn't been able to take him down yet.
No. Again, he calls his barbed wire covered baseball bat Lucille. Lucille is very important to Negan. That is his preferred weapon of choice. And here's the thing: the wolves on the TV show are pretty much the saviors of Negan. Because again, Negan established the saviors. Again, because he's power hungry. He's a power hungry sociopath, and he once made a deal with the Hilltop Colony that they would use the weaponry and that the other group was lacking to kill all the zombies wandering near their premises, and in return they would get half of their supplies so they can, you know, survive, you know, and whatnot. But then he was like, "Fuck that." So took care of Hilltop, and then kind of was doing the same thing with the Alexandria people and whatnot. And again, made a statement by straight up killing Glenn. He had this long talk about a new world order that really helped to establish his character, and is probably one of my absolute favorite moments of the comic itself. And then took Lucille and straight up beat the fuck out of Glenn until he died.
Nice guy.
Yeah. Very terrible guy. You know, don't you know, always notice, like, again, Terry Dean Morgan is always the meanest of the villains. There's like, oh yeah, but he's actually a really nice guy. Like, they see, like, the most fucked up people seem to be played by the most well-adjusted. Like, I'm pretty sure that was also the case for Vincent D'Onofrio's Wilson Fisk on Daredevil.
Sorry, I'm still a bit distracted. Let us try to run through this news as quickly as possible.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Let's get some news.
Do a quick rundown.
Okay, I will do that. First up is with Suicide Squad. We're all wondering, oh man, this looks hard and gritty. Oh man, is DC, are we going to get an R-rated DC going to do an R-rated superhero movie? Yeah, you're not getting that. Producer Charles Roven revealed Suicide Squad's going to be a hard PG-13, saying the intention of the film was definitely to be PG-13. We really wanted to make these films tonally consistent so that, as I said, because this is a shared universe, or at least our current thinking, and again, we're not dealing in absolutes, because while this is a business, it's also a creative endeavor. So you want to leave yourself open to changing your mind, doing something different, being inspired. That's the whole process of filmmaking, is you have to allow for inspiration, as well as having a roadmap to what you're going to do. So our plan right now is to make all these films PG-13. In some cases, you know, right there on the edge of PG-13, but still PG-13.
So you think this is a good idea?
If there was any time you were going to do an R-rated, like, big budget, well-known R-rated superhero movie. I would have preferred it to be Suicide Squad. That seems like to be the best one to go with.
Quick, will this backfire or this?
You know what? I'm gonna leave that undecided right now. Because I want to. I want the final product to be the deciding factor in that. But right now, I was like, okay, fine. Because again, they want people to be in on this movie. They want everyone to be on this movie server. They want everybody. Because this is America where we're fine with little kids saying some very fucked up violent things. We're cool with all that. But the moment you show a nipple or two people of the same sex kissing each other or anything sexual, then we freak the fuck out. After they just saw five people get their heads blown off.
What's next?
What's next is that it is a rumor for the upcoming Thor Ragnarok, and that it'll have a female-led villain.
That only leaves two people. Enchantress or Hela. Now, who did they just cast?
Who I think they should
cast? No, they just cast one. Didn't they? Or they're talking to someone?
No. That's a rumor going around right now.
All right, but didn't they mention the
name? Langley Gossip heard Marvel Studios saying they're also planning on bringing their first major female villain to their cinematic universe. Pursue a big name Mr. Actress like Kate Blanchett Faye.
Right, okay. That's what I was thinking, Kate Blanchett.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing. It's most likely going to be Hela, who would have to be Hela. Queen of the Dead. And again, because the movie's called Thor Ragnarok, which is with Ragnarok being the apocalypse of Norse mythology. So, yeah, kind of makes sense. Although, I do love Amora the Enchantress. She could still be in the movie, having be a factor in, say, like, since at the end of Thor Dark World, we know Loki is masquerading as Odin and ruling over Asgard.
But I don't see Kate Blanchett playing the Enchantress.
Hella, maybe. But that's not what I was talking about. I'm saying Enchantress could still be involved, having a role to play in Loki, who is masquerading as Odin, rule over Asgard. She could have a play in that, while Hela is still the big bad, the main big bad of the movie, given that, again, Queen of the fucking Dead.
Well, there is
So there's a way they could use both, although I'm more leaning towards Hela.
There's a lot of people they still have not done yet. They haven't done the Executioner. They haven't done the Enchanted. They haven't done Baldur yet, so.
And they kind of screwed the and I'll be honest, they kind of did screw the pooch with Malachi.
I guess.
No, they did. They did.
What's next?
What's next is some Deadpool news. Deadpool's got a couple new books. First, Deadpool's getting a brand new original graphic novel by its creator, Rob Liefeld.
You think anybody will buy it?
Well, first off, the book is called Deadpool Bad Blood, and is being written in collaboration with X-Men 92 writers Chris Sims and Chad Bowers. and has said, excuse me, hold on. All right, this is literally a story I've wanted to share for the last 20 years. I actually started drawing pages of it out of my notebook around 2007. It's something I do when I get ideas, artistically riffing. So the idea that I'm actually seeing the story and pages come to life is a thrill. I don't want to give anything away. I'm just trying to add something memorable to the canon. So, by the way, this is being done on Marvel's original graphic novel a line, which, more often than not, is outside of continuity. And as far as I think it's going to be good, well, maybe the writing, because, let's face it, Rob Liefeld's still a terrible artist.
Let's see.
And a fucking horrible writer.
It looks like Marvel don't have a problem promoting Deadpool when it comes to the Fox movie property.
Yeah.
Pushing the Deadpool harder than ever. You got more books out than ever before.
Yeah. And again, you said another book. We got a miniseries coming out in February, right around the movie that's going to spin out of the current Deadpool book. Cullen Bunn will be writing with Salva Espin on the art for Deadpool and the Mercs for Money. Deadpool and the Mercs for Money is being described this is the description. Deadpool and the Mercs for Money is the Dirty Dozen of the Expendables. If Deadpool's in charge instead of Lee Marvin or Sylvester Stallone, it's Saving Private Ryan if instead of rescuing a soldier, they were trying to make a metric ton of cash. It's Smokey and the Bandit, but rather than being pursued by Buford T. Justice, our heroes are harried by the likes of Lord Deathstrike and the Crazy Gang and Taskmaster and Deadpool's sort of undead nemesis, Evil Deadpool. This is what's being described by book writer Cullen Bunn. And it'll run for 5 issues, going at a mark cover price of $3.99. This is what the solicitation for it says. Deadpool might be an Avenger now, but he's also got his own private team of mercenaries. They're legally cleared to be called Mercs for Money. Got a problem you can't solve on your own, and a pile of money you'd like to get rid of? Just call Deadpool, Stingray, Massacre, Solo, Fool Killer, Terror, Slapstick, and watch as that problem is shot, stabbed, eviscerated, pulverized, and generally made bloody. Marvel's more quick to get this movie out than they were with Fantastic
Four.
Well,
they're quick to get the movie out, but they're not getting rid of the books.
Yeah. God damn it. We got a new Marvel line. There's no Fantastic Four book. This is bullshit.
Well, you know what's going on with the Baxter building, right?
Parker Industries.
Yeah, well,
I haven't caught it. Okay, I've only read the first issue of Amazing Spider-Man, but I'm going to read 2 and 3 sometime before
next. They put out a preview, basically. Peter bought it and he said, yeah, I'm just keeping the building until the Fantastic Four is ready to return. So I guess no one's really dead from the Fantastic Four. I guess the family, Reed, Sue, and the kids are just off on a vacation somewhere. Just chilling.
Yeah, Johnny's off with the Uncanny Inhumans.
And
Ben Grimm's off with the Guardians.
Well, he's
of
also part of Uncanny Avengers.
What?
Uncanny Avengers.
Who?
Johnny.
No, Inhumans.
No, both. He's on both teams.
Oh, shit. Okay. Well, dude, I need. I told you I haven't been able to read this volume of Uncanny Avengers yet. Well, I'll fix it. Okay, so he's doing both. All right. Cool. That's awesome.
Go ahead, quickly.
Where the fuck? Hey, Surfer, I got great news for you. You can now play with yourself.
I know. Some Target stores are having it where you can go in.
Okay, go ahead.
Can go in and get yourself made into a Star Wars character. It's around, what, $60? Something like that?
Yeah. Okay. 3D Plus Me is giving collectors a chance to become, you know, part of their own collection now. There is a Super Awesome Me kiosk at nearby at participating Targets that use a camera facial mapping technology where a person can take their picture taken by the 3D Plus Me kiosk, which they can use to order the action figure of their choosing and have their own face attached onto it. And that these figures are not produced by the kiosk, but the image and order are sent off to an off-site and later shipped to the customer's home address. So you can, like, design it at the kiosk, send your info, pay $60, get, you know, give your info and be like, all right, yay, I'm going to be a Captain America or a Jedi Knight or Imperial Stormtrooper or Spider-Man toy and whatnot. So
that would make a nice gift.
Yeah. Also, I'm kind of upset you didn't take the whole masturbation joke bit any further.
What masturbation joke?
When I said you could play with yourself.
Oh.
Leading into the story, I'm disappointed. We could have had a whole masturbation shtick going on.
No, that's okay. We don't have time.
Okay, so there was a report that came out this week that Mariah Carey was going to be voicing Commissioner Gordon
for the Batman Lego movie.
In the Lego Batman movie. Not fucking kidding. Well, that was fucking wrong, because the Hollywood Reporter then later officially confirmed she's voicing Gotham's mayor.
Okay.
Not Gordon.
The mayor.
Yeah, the mayor. How you like that?
Good for her.
Yeah. We got it. Yeah. Progress.
Yeah.
Okay, details have finally come out for this year's crossover event between The Flash and Arrow, which more or less seems like set up for the upcoming Legends of Tomorrow show.
Yeah.
Yeah, The Flash, and these will air on December 1st and 2nd, with The Flash episode, Legends of the Day, dealing with, Vandal Savage coming to Central City, going after Jitters, barista Kendra Saunders. And after Vandal attacks her and Cisco, they turn to Barry for some help, but then get sidetracked when Hawkman shows up and flies off with Kendra. Meanwhile, Harrison Wells of Earth 2 develops a serum to make Barry run faster and asks Jay Garrick to help test it out.
Yeah, I want Jay Garrick to get his powers back.
Me too. I want to see more Jay Garrick running around, because it's so awesome and wonderful. Yeah, I'm excited. Shut the hell up, people. Apparently, Stanley Kubrick says we want a Jordan Cobb C-3PO action figure. Hey, whatever floats your boat. If you spot me $60, I'll make it happen. Flash, Arrow will be called Legends of Yesterday, where Oliver and Barry take Kendra and Hawkgirl and Hawkman to a remote location to hide them from Vandal Savage and figure out how to defeat him, while Malcolm Merlyn, a.k.a. Ra's al Ghul, arranges a meeting between Vandal, Green Arrow, and the Flash that doesn't go quite as planned, and Felicity, Fia, Diggle, and Laurel work with Team Flash to come up with a weapon that can destroy Vandal Savage.
I didn't know about Vandal Savage until the Justice League cartoon.
Really? You never read a Vandal Savage story before?
Not that I can remember.
Oh, not that you remember.
Yeah. Okay. So let's keep it moving.
There is a Miles Morales short film that's been making the rounds of the internet this week. You seen this?
Yes, I watched it.
Yeah, what'd you think?
It was a nice little short film. I mean, I don't know how true they stuck to the story, but, you know, it wasn't a bad for a short film.
No, I really liked it too. By the way, it's a fan film from a production company called Bard Tales Production. They clearly love their Shakespeare. Hmm. Called Spider-Man Lives, a Miles Morales story that is more or less true to Miles' origin about taking up the mantle of Spider-Man after in the Ultimate Universe. Peter Parker died. It shows Miles's, and really it's a heartfelt little short film that focused less on costume superheroics and focused more on around the reactions of more Peter Parker Spider-Man. And if you want, you can go watch it online on Bard's Tales.
Well, I did post it on Facebook.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you can go by the What Are You Reading Comic Book Show Facebook page, like us, and watch it there. Again, it's like not, it's only 9 minutes. So you can take at least a 10-minute break out of your day. Enjoy yourself. Yay.
Well, you know, that's maybe the first step to actually getting a real Miles Morales movie, or him showing up in one of the Spider-Man movies, you know?
Well, again, they've said, we got plans for Miles. We kind of want to get a correct version of Peter Parker and Spider-Man. You know, one where you like them both. You know, both the actor in both roles and whatnot, whatever. I mean, hey, Peter Parker, he's good. He's good.
All right, let's do one more story.
All right, one more story. All right, let me see what we should end on. Okay, now I know what we should end on. Okay, you know how some people are avoiding any sort of Star Wars press to be preserved?
Yes.
And not know about spoilers and whatnot?
Right.
Yeah, Star Wars is doing that too. Star Wars is not fucking around. It's been reported this week, Star Wars is going to skip the initial round of year-end awards in order to preserve the plot details of the upcoming 7th movie.
Yeah, they've done a good job of not putting the plot out. I mean, it's been nothing but speculation, and, you know, it's search for Luke, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. They have declined consideration for the National Border Review's honors, with the board's top 10 scheduled to be announced on December 1st. It's expected to similarly skip the New York Film Critics Circle Awards, Los Angeles Film Critics Association honors, and even the Screen Actors Guild Awards.
So basically, they don't want to screen it early.
Yeah, and all those nominations are going to be announced before the film's release on December 18th. And it's been said while it's an unlikely contender for a bulk of those awards being a fantasy action film. Whatever. Stuck up nose. Anyway, it's another testament to how. Again, let's just be real. It shows how much love and care has gone into Star Wars, that they really care about the movie surprises as well. Like, they really want everyone to be surprised. And but despite this, Force Awakens is still going to be an Oscar contender, since the Academy Award nominations are expected to be announced on January 14th, 2016.
And probably some Globes.
Yeah, maybe. But hey, Star Wars cares about Star Wars this much. They're like, we don't need fucking awards. We care about the people. So, yeah, you really aren't gonna know shit until you see the movie yourself.
Okay. Well, I can't wait. We got a month to go before.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. I still need to get my goddamn
tickets. Yeah, we're really like a month away now. It's like today's the 15th.
Yeah,
the movie's the 17th.
So we're basically in 3 days. We'll officially be a month away.
So.
And I still need to get my goddamn ticket.
Why didn't you order it online?
That was a clusterfuck. A huge clusterfuck. Also, I'm not sure when I'm going to be able to get it.
You don't have an IMAX near you anyway, do you?
No, I don't.
So that,
that's like fucking hours. That's like, well, more
I guess
than
that wouldn't
hour.
Matter then.
What?
It wouldn't matter.
Well, either way, look, I'm still unsure when I'm exactly leaving the house to be able to go and do that. But I'm going to, but look, rest assured, I will see it just in time so we can talk about it live on the air. For our Star Wars, you know, Christmas special and whatnot.
Yeah, with Art Carney and, oh, that's not pain pills.
Wait, did we book B. Arthur now?
Yeah, B. Arthur, Art Carney, everybody from the original Christmas special will be here.
Yeah, all right. It's going to be awesome. Wait, especially Harvey Korman?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. But that's it. That's the news. That's all we got this week.
And Richard Pryor might show up, too.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I thought he was busy.
No, he was the king.
He moved some things around.
He runs the cantina, remember?
Yeah, fair enough.
Stanley, come on. Don't talk this shit about Star Wars 7 being shit. Come on now. Okay.
Yes, there is a possibility Star Wars could suck.
He wants to be banned from the chat room. That's his problem.
Okay, look. Everything has a chance to either be good or really suck. Star Wars is not exempt. Force Awakens could be amazing, but there is a chance it could also turn out to be a massive pile of shit. Right now, I'm not focusing on that. I just want to go see a new Star Wars movie. That's all I care about, because I love Star Wars. So, Star Wars. That's it. And as we said, that's it for the news this week. That's all we got.
Well, Jordan, sorry for, this show has not been up to the standard I wanted to put out, but
I probably did a good show.
My mind is someplace else, and I really need to get off the air. So, but
all right, that's fair. All right, we'll just do some. I'll take this over, ladies and gentlemen. We here at Rant Entertainment Media Radio would love. Oh, wait. No, Double A, I don't think he was. Yeah, Double A asking, you think that fan who saw Force Awakens before he died was lying when he said it was good? I don't think he was. I think that was his honest opinion that he loved it. And he got to have one last good memory before he sadly passed away.
Here's the deal, Double A. Initially, people are going to say the movie was good, and then after some thought, if people don't like it, then the backlash will start. But right away, people will not come out thinking that the movie was bad.
And so that's our show this week. We want to thank you for listening to us and remind you that, man, we got tons of great programming here on Rant Entertainment Media Radio. Like, you know,
You taking this over?
Like Wi-Fi. Well, sorry, I thought you were.
No, I'm asking you.
I would, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
All right, yeah, just like I said, like last night, we had another fine installment of the Wrestling Call-In Show hosted by William Morgan, which happens every Saturday night at 11 p.m. The week starts here on Rant really on Tuesday.
It starts today.
What?
Starts today.
Yeah.
We start the week.
Okay. And of course, you can listen to the What Are You Reading comic book show at live here every Sunday at 5 p.m. Eastern, because really we put the entertainment in Rant Entertainment. Let's be real here. And on Tuesdays, we have two shows for your liking. We have The Rant going up live every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Freaks and Effing Geeks following that up at 11 p.m. Wednesdays, it's our newest show, and I'm actually proud to have this on here because I really like listening to it. Talk Brunch, every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. And actually, Talk Brunch has a live special coming up on Monday, November 23rd at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time with special guest Double A. How you like that? Thursdays is Rant and Wrestling at 9 p.m. And every Friday night, live at 9 p.m., it's Turnbuckle Throwbacks. My new Saturday morning ritual, basically. Wake up, brew some tea, listen to Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
And next Sunday, of course, is WWE
Survivor Series coverage will be starting here at 7 p.m. Eastern, right after we go off the air. Yeah, and are you looking forward to Survivor Series this year?
Well, nothing yet that made me... Like, the Survivor Series, I don't look forward because, one, it's not really Survivor Series anymore. And so, let's see who who's going to fight for the belt. We know it's going to be Roman Reigns. Let's see who he...
But yeah, but here's okay. It's most likely going to be Roman Reigns that wins the belt. But here's the thing.
Some people think it's going to be Dean Ambrose.
Okay, well, but here's the thing. With no John Cena, no Randy Orton, no Seth Rollins involved in this, it's going to be an interesting tournament where it's not predictable as fuck.
It's been predictable so far. Other than Neville winning, everything else has been pretty predictable to me.
Okay, fair enough. But again, look, I'm saying it's a more interesting tournament because the usual heavy hitters aren't involved. It's going to be a more interesting tournament.
Maybe.
That's all I'm saying.
Hey, you know, whoever wins this could just be a placeholder.
Well, yeah, because again, Seth Rollins' current injury.
No, I mean a placeholder for the next month or two.
Well, okay, that's also true. Or hell, they could let whoever wins this hold on to it and have them drop it at WrestleMania.
Yeah, but
who knows?
Sheamus is got the thing. He got a winner.
Money
some
in the
point.
Bank contract.
Yeah, he got a winner at some point.
Yeah, some point. Maybe, I've been hearing. What if he wins it? What if he cashes it in around the summer? So that way, when he has to go, when he you know goes and promotes,
well, he got to cash it in before the next Money in the Bank pay per view.
And TMNT 2 is gonna be out in June, whereas Money in the Bank will be in July. So again, I've heard theories of people saying like, hey, he could most likely cash in around that time, so when he goes around promoting TMNT 2, they'll be like, WWE champion Sheamus is in the movie as Rocksteady.
Sorry.
But yeah, that's our show this week. Listen to us live. We have
nobody wanted the prize, so
We're keeping it. Maybe we'll give
it away next week.
Yeah. Holding on to it for now. Once again, What Are You Reading Comic Book Show Facebook page, where we update it daily with news. And we will talk to you on there. If you want to talk to us, drop us a line. And we are on Twitter as well. Surfer, what is your Twitter handle? Where can people find you?
Silver Surfer 4, F-O-R. Silver Surfer 4. You can follow me there on Twitter.
You can follow me on Twitter at Jowoco, Jowoco. Not that hard. So, all right, I'm ready to get out of here.
All right, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Good night.
Peace.